I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel overwhelmed. You ever get overwhelmed? Just all the stuff going on, the pressure to do it well, get it done right, and you think about all the things you don't get done, the people I don't get to visit, calls I didn't get to make, all the books in my library that I haven't read but would love to, sermons that are kind of half-baked just because it doesn't seem like I had quite enough time invested in it. It's my own fault. Don't have anybody to blame but myself. And that doesn't help, does it? Because I have chosen all the distractions and commitments that keep me from doing all the things that I want to do. I'd love to have more time with my family, more time with my friends, more time to think, a slower pace. And occasionally, the intensity of ministry closes in on me too. I feel like I'm drowning sometimes. I might just run away and join the circus. Maybe I already have run away and joined the circus. And it's usually when I'm feeling exhausted or overwhelmed that somebody makes the crack about preachers working 1 hour a week, you know. Then I pick up the paper and I want to escape my problems. And I read about a man driving a truck through celebration of Nice, killing innocent people watching a fireworks show. Or about a coup attempt in Turkey. Or about someone getting shot. Our society is sick. And sometimes, I don't think my efforts are making a dent. What about you? I mean, I feel like I'm trying to fill the Grand Canyon with a spoon. And I don't think I can keep up with the river eroding the bottom of the canyon. All that to say, I love what I do. I love being a pastor. I love being your pastor. Love this church. Sometimes, you see, I'm Martha. So are you. And it seems like everybody I talk to these days is busy, too busy, bordering on burnout, worried, distracted by all the things that need to get done, need to be done. And our lives, you know, I think our lives are too complicated for our own good. Martha and Mary lived with their brother Lazarus in Bethany. It was a suburb of Jerusalem, if you will. What interests Luke is that Mary isn't doing her customary duty. Instead of helping with all the tasks, she's sitting with Jesus, which is leaving double duty for her sister, Martha. Now, Martha notices this, and she also notices that Jesus doesn't seem to care that Mary's not doing her job. And so she rattles the pans in the kitchen. Can you hear her? Bang, 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 bang. And she gives her sister one of those burn a hole through 6-inch steel plate looks. You know what I'm talking about? She's trying to get her attention. I need a little help here. And Mary, she's oblivious. She doesn't have a clue. Or maybe she does, and maybe she's more interested in what she's focusing on than she is in helping her sister. She's focused, as are the other disciples, on Jesus, the teacher. And Jesus, I picture this, Jesus is making the most interesting point when Martha blows up. She's had enough. She invited Jesus to come to this party. Did you get that at the beginning of the text? She's the one that invited Jesus to come. And he came. And he's doing what Jesus does, teaching his disciples. And she storms in from the kitchen in the middle of it all as Jesus is reaching his ultimate point, and she just blows up. She accosts not just her sister or her brother, but all her company, her honored guest. Did you hear what she said? Don't you care that my sister's not helping me? This is to Jesus. This is the guest. Could you imagine going into your guest and saying, would you tell her to get up off her haunches and give me a little help? And if you were the guest, what would you say? Yeah, I believe this is something between the two of you. There are some family issues here, clearly, that need to be addressed. This is probably not the best time to be doing that. But she is furious. Now, Martha, in her earnest effort to be the perfect host, violates the first rule of hospitality. And she draws Jesus into a family issue. I've seen this happen before. It's not a fun place to be for anybody. You might have been in the middle of it yourself. Religion is hardly ever so pathological as when family members try to use Jesus against one another. I wonder how Mary and Martha got along ordinarily, do you? You kind of wonder how they got along? Martha sounds a lot like the jealous older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Was she always picking on Mary? Was she always putting her down? Was Mary typically irresponsible and insensitive to her sister? Was Mary just unwilling to do her chores and her stuff? Can you see this? What a mess. Two archetypes, the J versus the P, the responsible versus the carefree, or even the oppressed laborer versus the oblivious privileged. Rudyard Kipling wrote about this in The Sons of Martha. It's a poem. I'll read some of it to you. The sons of Mary seldom bother, for they have inherited the good part. But the sons of Martha favor their mother of the careful soul and the troubled heart. And because she lost her temper once, and because she was rude to the Lord, her guest, her sons must wait upon Mary's sons, world without end, reprieve or rest. It is their care in all the ages to take the buffet and cushion the shock. It is their care that the gear engages. It is their care that the switches lock. It is their care that the wheels run truly. It is their care to embark and entrain, to tally, to transport, to duly deliver the sons of Mary by land and train. They say to the mountains, be ye removed. They say to the floods, be dry. Under their rods are the rocks reproved. They are not afraid of that which is high. Then do the hilltops shake to the summit. Then is the bed of the deep laid bare, that the sons of Mary may overcome it, pleasantly sleeping, unaware. Who hasn't felt that way before the Lord? Call me Martha. I see your point. It isn't fair. Right? It isn't fair. It looks like some people are doing all the work. It's not fair. I want Jesus to honor Martha's anger. I want her to correct the injustice. I want him to say, Lazarus, why don't you get up and help your sister? Right? Pitch in. Join in the work. Does Jesus say that? That's what I want Jesus to say. Don't you? What's Jesus say? Jesus says this, Martha, Martha, I can hear him. He probably says it several times, Martha. Settle down. You're worried. You're distracted by all these things. Only one is needed. Only one thing. Mary has chosen the right thing. Now, what do you think Martha did next? She's already blown, right? And then she said, how come you're not helping me? And then Jesus says, settle down. Then she gets corrected in front of her sister. Jesus affirms Mary. Now, Mary's quite the feminist, I think. She refuses to play the role, submit to the men, miss the opportunity to sit with Jesus. Mary obviously hasn't read any resolutions regarding a woman's place. And Jesus hasn't either. Luke puts the story right after the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, what's the story of the Good Samaritan emphasizing? Right? We talked about this last week. How many of you remember last week's sermon? I don't hardly remember it, but anyway, some of you probably wondering. It wants to emphasize our willingness to accept God's terms and to do the work that God has called us to do. Offer grace just as we've been given grace in the most unlikely of ways. Take care of the lying and the bleeding beside the road and to be active helpers, right? To do the work that needs to be done, doing good to our neighbors. And who are our neighbors? We're getting out in the hood. That's what we're doing all week next week. Taking care of everybody. But this Samaritan ministry that we're given is hard, it's thankless, and it's easy to get burned out. And a lot of times, what happens is somebody comes up and says, hey, you're not helping. How come you're not helping? How come we're doing all the work? Where's everybody else? Right? And if we're not careful, as well-intentioned as we might be, we can actually become bitter and judgmental and angry and talk bad about people. because we're jealous or exhausted or cynical or counterproductive. And we start asking, well, what about me? Who's going to help me? Who's going to help us? So all of us Marthas need to remember our work is not God's only hope. And we're not the most important thing in the world. And as important as it is to be the good Samaritan that we can be and to do the work that we can do, the whole dominion of God and justice and mercy doesn't depend on us. That's good news, folks. And we need to remember why we're doing the work in the first place. We're not doing it so we can complain about others. We're not doing it so we can feel good about ourselves. Are we? Or are we? Perhaps we need to stop long enough and sit quietly at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to say before we get out and do the work. So we do it for the right reason. We hardworking, idealistic, perfectionist Marthas have a hard time stopping for anything, especially meditation and reflection or prayerful listening, because that feels like wasted time. And what we usually do is redouble our efforts, try to be more productive with our time, work harder still until we collapse and become so bitter altogether about nobody else helping. And yelling at Jesus, why don't you do something about this? The words of Rabbi Tarfon have become a great comfort to Martha and me. It's not yours to finish the task, but neither are you free to desist from it. Meaning, we aren't going to remove all the suffering from the world. We aren't going to repair every oppressive system. We do what we can. We trust the rest to God. And doing what we can means knowing that we have limits, and that our Sabbath rest is also important, that we lay down our burdens for a while from time to time and actually sit at Jesus' feet. And I don't think Jesus was saying we should let the needs of the world go and just turn our attention to heaven while other people take care of us. What he isn't saying is just be Mary here. He's saying don't always be Martha and don't always be Mary. Don't get so busy working for me that you forget me. The Bible makes it clear enough, spirituality without service is barren and selfish. This story wants to remind us that service without spirituality is exhausting and hopeless. So call me Martha sometimes, call me Mary sometimes too. There's a lovely story from Anne Lamont. She writes, 30 years ago, my older brother, who was 10 years old at the time, was trying to get a report on birds written. Now, he had the report, and he was supposed to be writing it for 3 months, but he waited until the night before to write the report. And we're in the family cabin, and he's at the kitchen table, and he's close to tears. He's getting ready to cry because he doesn't think he's going to finish the report. And finally, he just becomes immobilized by it all. Anybody ever been there? She says, my father sat down beside him and put his arm around my brother and said to him, one bird at a time, buddy. One bird at a time. One bird at a time. One bird at a time until it was done. One task at a time, okay? Trust it to God. This mission trip is one day at a time. One day at a time. Trust it to God. Do our best. Love as we can love. Don't get jealous. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter. Don't get mad at each other or at others. One day at a time. And I think we ought to put Jesus first. How about that? He's right here with us now. We can tell him that's what we want to do. So let's pray silently, shall we? Jesus, our Savior, our Sovereign, our Friend, thank you for calling us to worship, to silence, to prayer. Lead us beside the still waters. Lead us into the green pastures. Restore our souls for a while. And then lead us to service. Show us when we need to stop. And show us when we need to go. To be Martha, responsible and busy and doing more than our part to meet the needs of our neighbors, to change the evil in our world, and show us when we need to be Mary, quiet and listening and silent, sitting at your feet. Most of all, make us grateful that you've come to visit us in the first place. We're thankful that you're here. And we sure do enjoy our times with you. Best friend, sheltering Savior, loving God. Amen.